Galatians 5. We just read a very interesting portion of Scripture, didn't we? I want to begin by giving you the title of this message. It's called The Experience of Two Natures. The Experience of Two Natures. What every child of God experiences after Christ comes to him, reveals himself to him. Now, this book and the portion that we just read, the way it begins, I believe it's pretty safe to say that if Paul has established one thing in the book of Galatians, it's this: the difference between law and grace. Wouldn't you say that? If there's one thing that he has absolutely set forth, it is the fact that salvation is not by the deeds of the law. It's by God's free and sovereign grace. We just read some things that none of us are exempt from. Not one person in this room. And redemption from the fall cannot come by the deeds of the law, right? It's by God's free grace. And he said in verse 1, the way he started this whole chapter is, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." How do you describe what Christ has done for us? How do you really describe what Christ has done for us? How do you enter into what Christ has done for us? Really and truly. Would you take another sinner's sin and lay it on yourself? Would you do that? Would you take another sinner's wickedness and lay it on yourself and then take the blame for it? And then take the punishment for it and die for it? Would you do that? Oh, what Christ has done for us. He set us free. He set us free. How dare a man say, after Christ shed his own blood, how dare a man stand up and say it wasn't good enough? How dare a man say that? It wasn't good enough. And Christ didn't put away your sin and you're still under the bondage of the law. But men do it every day. They do it every day. What must I do to be saved? They got the list. Here's the list. I'll give you this list. The Apostle Paul said, those men are lying to you. And he said in verse 12, this is where we pick up tonight. He said, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Don't listen to them anymore. Don't listen to them anymore. The truth of your salvation is this. Everything that God has demanded for you, God has provided for you. Every single thing that God has demanded of you because of the sin we know we have committed. Everything God has demanded of you, God has provided for you. Everything. He said, believe. That's a gift from Him. That's a gift. God gives a sinner that ability, and without the gift, the sinner can't believe. He said, repent. That's the gift of God. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. He said, be baptized. That's a gift. That's God's Holy Spirit immersing a sinner into the blood of Christ. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Everything that God has required for salvation, God has provided for salvation. Your salvation is finished and complete in Him. Absolutely finished and complete in Him. Verse 13, He said, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." Freedom. You're free. Verse 13 says, "Only." Only. "Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What a commandment that is. Now, do we understand what he's saying here? He establishes first, you are free. You are free. It's not by the deeds of the law. You're free. But he said only. He's saying, but with that being said, use not the freedom that our Lord has given us for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What a commandment that is. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Turn with me over to Leviticus 19. This is where the Lord gave it. Leviticus 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 19, verse 18 says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Don't you love that? Don't you love that? Don't avenge or bear any grudge against the children of your people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. Love each other. I'm the Lord. That's what I demand in my presence. You have been set free. Now love each other. That's what he's saying. You have been set free. Now love each other. Turn with me over to Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 9 says, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery." Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't leave the commitment of your spouse. Don't do that. He said, you've been set free. You have liberty. But then it says, don't commit adultery. Don't do that. Thou shalt not kill. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't murder anybody. Not even in the heart. Thou shalt not steal. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. Don't do any of those things. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love, he said, love is the fulfilling of God's law. The things that he has commanded, we have been set free from in order to be saved. But he says, with that freedom, don't disregard his law. Don't throw it away. And the Lord himself said, the whole law is fulfilled in this. And that's what he just said. If there be any other thing, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now go with me back to Galatians 5. Verse 13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." If we are critical, and if we are unforgiving, and if we are unkind, and if we're filled with bitterness and filled with hatred and filled with division and all those things, we are going to destroy. We're going to absolutely destroy not only the unity and the peace and the fellowship of God's church, God's congregation. Not only are we going to absolutely destroy that, we're going to destroy ourselves. We are going to destroy ourselves. We are going to be consumed one of another. Look with me over at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." We are the elect of God. We've been chosen unto some things. We've been chosen unto salvation. We've been chosen to be like Christ, to be conformed into the image of Christ. And he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." Bowels means heart. Heart of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. That's love. Put on love, which is the bond. The bond, it's the cement. One man put it that way. It's the cement. God's people are called lively stones built up. And do you know what cements all those stones together? Love. Love. It is the greatest thing that the church of God can possess. It's the greatest thing that the congregation of God can possess. The bond that absolutely binds all of his people together, that cement for the stones, is love. And he said in verse 14, "Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Be thankful. What a wonderful thing to be. Now go with me back to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." What that's telling us is every single believer has two natures. That's what he's telling us. Every believer has two natures. What that means is there are two different people in here. There are two completely different, separate people in here. There is an old man and there is a new man. There is an old man and there is a new man. A person that God's Spirit has not come to. A person that the Spirit of Christ Himself has not come to. And revealed Himself to and opened his eyes and quickened him. That person only has one nature. One nature. That person has problems in the world. That person has financial trouble and relationship trouble and all kinds of troubles. But he does not struggle and suffer over spiritual matters. Doesn't bother him. Has no heart for it. Doesn't care. He sure does not spend time just grieving over his sin, just grieving over what he is. He has one nature, but the child of God has two natures. The flesh, that's the old man, and the spirit, that's the new man. The flesh hates the things of God. Say, well, that's a strong word. Yes, it is. The flesh hates the things of God. And the Spirit loves the things of God. I mean loves the things of God. And say, well, that's a strong word. Yes, it is. I mean loves God. The flesh tries to get as far away from Christ as he can. As far away. Any excuse, anything. What can I come up with to get away from that? Just right now, I'll deal with tomorrow then. That's the flesh. Tries to get as far away from Christ as he can. The Spirit wants to be just like him. Just like him. Both of these natures are mine. Me. Both of these natures are mine. That old man is definitely mine. That one's mine. But in the gift of Christ, that new man is mine too. That is my nature in the gift that God gives to a child of his. That new man belongs to that child. There's a new creation, and it's mine. Sin is all that I am in the flesh. That's all that I am. That's what we stand up and cry, I am, I am. Sin is all that I am in the flesh. But that's not all that I am in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, that's not what I am at all. Look with me over at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John 3, verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Have you ever struggled with that verse of Scripture? You ever read that and thought, what does that mean? What that means is there's a new man. There is a brand new man. Our Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of water and you must be born of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. And that new man that is born of God does not commit sin. And it's so hard for us to understand that and get our minds around it because we don't feel like we see him that often. Ever. But he's in there and he does not sin. He does not sin. Those two natures are completely opposite of each other. Now go with me back to Galatians 5. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The new nature is so ready to be done with sin. So ready. He is so tired of wickedness. He's so tired of rebellion. He just wants to be like Christ physically in the body. That's what he wants. We know about that man. We know something of that man, don't we? He just is ready to be done and like Christ in the flesh, in the body that he lives in. The old nature, though, won't let him. The old man will not let him. Now, we are spiritually perfect in Christ. We are spiritually complete and sinless and holy in Christ. But do you know what keeps us from being physically perfect in the body right now? That old man. That old nature. That new nature wants to do right 100% of the time. It wants to love perfectly 100% of the time, but the old nature won't let him. He will not let him. He cannot do the things he wants to do. That old nature is so sick of goodness. He is so sick of forgiveness. He is so sick and tired of hearing about love and church and God. Sick of it. And he says, I don't care what eternity brings. I really don't care anymore. All he wants to do is wad all of this up, throw it away, and run straight into the pleasures of sin for a season. That's all he wants to do. But the new nature won't let him. That new nature that Christ has brought to his child, that new man, that new creation, will not let him. That new man says to that old man, you're lying to yourself. That will not glorify God. Verse 17 says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Because of this war, there is a war that goes on inside a child of God. And because of this war, neither one of those two can do what they want to do. Neither one of them. We come into this place with a true heart desire to worship God, don't we? It's in there. It's in there. We come begging, Lord, please let me worship. Please let me worship. And the whole time we're sitting here and the whole time I'm standing here, that old man is saying to the new man, I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of this. How many times are we going to sit here? How many times are we going to do this? Life is short. There's a lot of things we need to be doing. Go with me to Romans 7. Now, this is the same man who is writing Galatians, who wrote the book of Galatians. Listen to the same man who wrote that letter as he speaks right here. He is not speaking to them in a judgmental way. All of these instructions he's given to them, he's not speaking to them in a judgmental way. He's speaking from experience. Romans 7, verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, for that which I do, I allow not. I know not. I don't know. I don't know why. For what I would, what I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. I love that law. I love the law of God. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I just can't do it. I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is what's so confusing to him. I love the law of God. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? One of these days, we are going to be delivered from the body of this death. One of these days. Death is the ridding of the old man. When you see, the next time you see a believer laying in a casket, you remember that that death that you see there is God ridding that child of His of the old man. The old man finally dies. That's it. He's gone. And until that happens, the exhortation to us is, put on the new man as much as possible. We give way too easily to the old man. Paul said, I fought a good warfare. I fought a good fight. I pressed toward the mark. I this, I that. And he's saying, put on the new man as much as possible. Go over a few chapters to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There is a man inside the child of God who wants to do that. There is a man in there who wants to do that. And he's saying, if it's possible, put him on. Put him on. Don't turn, but Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God has created a creation that's righteous and holy after Him. Put on that new man. What the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatians is this. You are not saved by works, but that does not mean we don't work. That does not mean we don't strive for everything God has commanded of us. He has written our new nature. That's what the law is. He has written what we are going to be like, what the new man is. So he said, stand fast in the liberty of your freedom and be an obedient servant of Christ. Yes, Christ came to save sinners. Yes, He did. He came to save sinners. But this is what the angel said. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. From them. Now go with me back to Galatians. Back to Galatians. Verse 18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Spirit does not lead men to the law. The Spirit leads men to Christ, leads men to His grace, leads men to His love, leads men to fellowship with Him. That Spirit works a good work, but it's not a labor of the law, it's a labor of love. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which is quarreling and contentions, emulations, that's jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, which is creating an uproar, stirring up people. Heresies is division. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. First of all, what he's saying is, in this flesh dwells no good thing. Well, then how can a sinner be saved? God took every bit of that, that we all know we have done and do, in body, mind, heart, and he laid it on himself, and God dealt with it. And he took his perfection, and he laid it on us. In this flesh dwells no good thing. That's all we can say about this flesh. If that is what a sinner is completely given to, I mean day in, day out, that's all the man is, that is a terrible sign that God has not given a new nature to that sinner. Now, we are all prone to it because that's the old man in here. That's the old man in here. He is in here. But if that's all that a person is truly given to, if that's all he wants, if that's all his conscience will let him do, it's not a good sign that God has given a new nature. And the reason is because verse 22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Everything in our new nature is in total agreement with God's law. There is something in a believer that understands, I want to obey God. There is something in there that says, I can't. Not like I fully want to. And I'm not even going to pretend to act like what I do he's happy with. But something in there understands, no, I'm not holding to those things as the determining factor on whether or not he saves me, but I will not let them go. I want to be what he's called me to be. Something in there says, whether it comes out or not, something in there is screaming, let me out. Verse 24 says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Not fully and not literally. We know that. We know we haven't crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. We still have every bit of that. And that's not going to actually happen until God kills that old man and he lays down in the ground. But what he's saying is, that is the desire of every person that belongs to Christ. He wants that old man dead. That man, he has not died yet, but he's crucified to me. I don't want him. I don't want him. I just don't want him. All that God has given this new nature to, they want that old man to just be gone. Gone. They don't want to see him, and they don't want him to be seen. They don't want him. I don't want you to see my old man. I just don't. I do not want you to see my old man. So verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, if God has brought this new creation to us, this new life, and if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The new man, let's put on and let's walk around in the new man as much as be possible, as much as it lies within us. Let's walk around in the new man. Verse 26 says, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Let's kill all of it. Just right now, today, put a stop to it as much as it be possible. Kill it. Everything that pertains to the flesh. And I'm going to close with this. I'm going to show you the best way to do it. Here's the best way to do it. Turn with me over to Colossians 3 again, one more time. Colossians 3. Pick up where we left off with verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. As much as possible, get into His word. It will spark something. It will bring up something. It will kindle the new man. Get into this word, and most all of us have smartphones now or some way. Download messages. There's a long list of men. Listen, it's not enough to hear the gospel 3 or 4 times a week. Listen to the gospel, if you can, 12 times a week. Listen to the gospel. And the way you know if it's the gospel is that man will be preaching the word. He'll be telling you the word. Okay, so verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sing these. If you only remember one verse, half a verse, only the chorus, sing them in your mind. Well, I'm not a good singer. You are in your mind. You're fantastic in your mind. Sing these in your hearts. Sing them. All right, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Let's put that man on. All right, as much as possible. Let's walk around in that man. All right, let's stand together.